Happy Halloween. This is our 8-0 edition of Chiefs Live. I'm Ed Hockley, and this is the long snapper. It's extraordinaire.
Oh, hurt the hand. Did I see you earlier? Were you doing curls earlier?
I don't know. I did like 1,000 of them. 998.
Sculpting the guns is what he was doing.
The ruling on the field has been challenged. There is a new ruling this year that you can only have six men right of the long snapper on a placement, on a PAT or field goal. You also must leave the shoulders of the snapper uncovered, but that was a rule 3 years ago. Anyway, the ruling on the field stands. It's a first down.
That is outstanding.
And anyway, I'm Ed Hockley, and yes, I love Ed Hockley. All right, we're going to get into this a little bit.
It is Halloween.
Ed did work the game here a couple weeks ago. Probably see Ed again. Maybe he'll be in Buffalo this week as the Chiefs have a large game against the Buffalo Bills. But let's jump back to the Cleveland game, Kendall, and take a look at that as Kansas City goes 8-0. Was not easy, a 23-17 win. Overall, your feelings on the win over Cleveland?
You know what, it was a tale of two halves. The first half, the Chiefs did a lot of good things. Four out of the five drives they scored. The one drive that they did not score was a missed field goal. But in talking with Andy Reid as we went off into the locker room, you know, he felt like they let some things get away and should have had a chance to be up more.
Offensively, though, there was a 20-point half here, and the screen game was outstanding. We're going to look at these later in the show and get your video breakdown on it. But in the first half, it was a 20-point first half. But what about the ability to spread the ball around?
I think it's great. When Alex Smith can be getting the ball to six different people with two catches or more, now you've got some issues, and certainly what Dexter McCluster did in the first half, seven catches for 67 yards, is fabulous. Then again, we continue to see number 11, Alex Smith, do nothing but get first downs with his legs, which is awesome. And that is such a big part of what's going on to me, because he just is willing them to some first downs, and it's huge. And again, we are going to talk about earlier, but as you see Sherman going in for a touchdown, and as you said, the fire hydrant, I mean, he is one stocky guy. He's doing some good things. He had a couple catches on the day. More weapons. You like him starting to come out.
And the blocking downfield, you just saw Sherman wipe out a linebacker here on that play, and then Dexter McCluster get involved. 10 targets, 7 catches, also had a run, so that's 8 touches for McCluster. What does that do for this team as they go to Buffalo in the succeeding 8 weeks?
Well, Mitch, I think it makes the other team have to prepare for more, because now you've got another weapon you've got to deal with. Bo has been a little bit under the gun. Of course, it was a game-time decision somewhat in terms of the groin, whether he'd play or not. He was out there, and I heard you mention about the fact that while maybe the fantasy stats weren't great, the fact of the leadership and the blocking that he's doing and things of that nature, and just the sheer threat of doing some things is huge. And something else that is huge is what we're watching right there in that Zombo recovery of a fumbled punt, which is arguably maybe one of the biggest plays of the game.
And maybe the season, because if Cleveland gets the ball there, they only needs a field goal, 20-20 at the very least, going to overtime. But what about Dustin Colquitt and the lost plays that we forget about or don't take him for granted in this game?
Well, you're right. And Dustin Colquitt, he had a 44-yard net, which is outstanding. And quite honestly, I don't think he punted as well as he can. I think he would probably tell you the same. He didn't hit it the way he would like. But when you get a 44 net, that's a good thing. And when you hold Travis Benjamin to 19 total yards, the return game, because this is a guy who single-handedly won the game against Buffalo a few weeks back, that's huge. So what Dustin did, and really the coverage net, the coverage teams of Kansas City cannot be understated.
Yeah, and I feel bad for Travis Benjamin, ACL, and out for the season. The kid is a fantastic player. Let's look at some numbers here. Here you go, right down the line. More passing yards for the Browns. They were able to get some big plays against this vaunted Chiefs defense.
Well, they did. I mean, there was three straight three and outs, I believe, and it was just that last couple drives where they got all the yards. And I know you have the exact stats. Pretty much, but that's where they did their damage. To me, you see all these, the rush disparity is definitely big from the Chiefs' side of things, and the 21st downs, huge, and those two to me is what makes up that last one, which is 36 minutes. To have the ball 36 minutes in a game is unbelievable.
You and I are both asked every day about taking the load off of Jamaal Charles. I think he had 23 touches again in this game. He's first in the National Football League in yards from scrimmage. But let's take a look at a graphic. We talked about McCluster and Sherman, but the fact that those two guys were able to get some touches How important will this be as the season goes on?
Well, what you're looking at is two guys who are now a viable part of the offense that you've got to defend. Just like when they ran the Wildcat for the first time, now you've got to practice and defend that. Dexter McCluster, if you catch seven balls for 67 yards, that's something that's got to be checked. And then Sherman, what he does for his size, the fact that he's able to be a weapon, and Coach Andy Reid talked about this in the preseason. He just doesn't want a big offensive line back there at fullback. He wants a guy who can catch the ball. We've yet to see him run with the ball, but I'm just going to assume that he can at some point, and I'm sure they'll pull it out. But that is awesome when you've got those things going on. They're both having a TD catch. The Chiefs, I believe, have eight different players with a TD catch this year, which is actually seven, I think, which is fourth in the NFL. So that's a good thing also.
And also taking a look at the running back comparison, Willis McGahee, this is the fourth different team he's played against the Chiefs in his career. And McGahee, I know, a little bit banged up, but when you look at the running back comparison, again, McGahee has been a problem for the Chiefs down through the years, and Jamal did what Jamal does.
McGahee has been a problem throughout the years, but he was not on Sunday. He had a couple of decent runs, had a nice, I think, fourth down run to get a first down for them. But in general, when you average an extra yard per carry, and really, to me, even if he gets through the line of scrimmage, Mitch, he's not a threat to go all the way. I was more scared of Fozzie, not only because of his name, but the fact that he has the name Fozzie. If you got the name Fozzie Whitaker and you've made it this far, you're doing something pretty good mentally. So he was a threat on the return game and also as a running back as well. But I think the Chiefs defense as a whole did pretty well.
Yeah, and Fozzie got the Chiefs in a mismatch there and got on a wheel route for a touchdown. We're going to say goodbye to Ed Hockley, although we love him so much. And yeah, I got to go do a complex, get some 55s out, and get some forearms, and also work on the tries and buys a little bit. When we say goodbye to Ed, we'll come back. We'll try to find Mitch and bring him back here and take a look at this game ahead at Buffalo and some Halloween numbers that you need to see on this edition of our Midwest Ford Dealers Chiefs Live Show.
This is a microphone like no other microphone. It's not meant for karaoke or morning announcements, no. This mic has more important things to do.
Touchdown! Touchdown!
This is the microphone of Mitch Holtis, the voice of the Chiefs. Come Sunday, it will reach to the far corners of the kingdom.
Welcome back to this Midwest Ford Dealers 8-0 edition of Chiefs Live on Halloween. We said goodbye to Ed Hockley. I think he's doing an autograph or book signing someplace in Kansas City. He was taking pictures with fans before the game here when he was working. Anyway, Mitch Holtis is back with you along with Kendall Gammon. All right, we're going to get into some spooky numbers here, spooky good numbers, and it starts with Bob Sutton and this Chiefs defense. The fact that they have allowed only 17 points, that's the top to any opponent in the first 8 weeks of the season. What do you get from that number?
You know, it's amazing because the defense, when I talk to guys after the game, it's just amazing that they bought into everything that he's saying. And the fact is, you know, in talking with Tom Bahali, you know, when they hadn't got some sacks in the game earlier, and he's like, you know, we're just waiting. We know he's going to dial something up and get it going. It wasn't that way this week. They quite honestly had a rough time, but they still had pressure on the QB. Quite honestly, QB did a pretty good job escaping several different times, doing his best Houdini act. But in general, the defense, how they're playing, the weapons they have, and the different formations that you'll see, the fact is it changes week to week, and that puts indecision in the heart of the offense, and that's a bad thing for them.
It's a historical number, the Chiefs going 8 weeks and just allowing 17 points in eight consecutive games. Only the 1977 Atlanta Falcons are better, going 9 weeks and doing that. Nobody's gone 10 in holding 17 or less. But then when you look at the fact that no team has started 8-0 in any of the American professional sports, and a lot of that is due to defense, what about the history this team is making?
Well, they are making history, but I'm going to go down it this way. The fact is they don't care. All they're thinking about is the next game, and I like that. And all they care about is putting pressure on the offense to do some things that maybe they don't want to do. And I just like how they're holding themselves. It's very, very refreshing to see in this day and age because I've not seen it. You know, this harkens back to some of those Baltimore Raven defenses. And I'm talking about the Baltimore Ravens defenses that have helped win Super Bowls, because to me, you have to have a defense like this to even be in the running.
And I saw you talking to your former teammate, Rod Woodson, when he was here a couple of weeks ago. It reminds me of the stories that you tell me about the 95 Steelers team. It's pretty impressive. Well, let's get to something impressive, and that's Tom Bahali and Justin Houston together, sitting here now in a little over 20 sacks of what these two guys have done. But again, it goes back to your unselfish mode. You don't get a feeling from them like they're chasing Strahan's record or anything. What about the accomplishments of these two guys in the first half of the season?
Well, I think to a man, they both play off of each other. They understand what their strengths and weaknesses is. If you watch them before the game, I mean, they go after it. They get warmed up and they're working on their moves and doing all kinds of different things. It's two very different types of rushes, I think. You know, Tamba, he has the motor that continues to go, and people flush to him, and he just keeps after it, whereas I think Justin has a few different moves and can overpower people at times. I think they're both doing a nice job of setting the edge on the run game, which is important because anytime you let the run game go, then you're going to have issues. The thing that I love about Tamba is how often he strips the ball. It's one thing to make the sack. It's quite another to knock the ball out and have a chance to recover it, because, again, in the football, turnovers is the key.
Our guys, Evan and Brock, do a great job in giving you the visuals here, but let's explain this graphic here. Tom Bahali, remember, greater than or equal to, back to your math days, these two guys to your left have more sacks or equal the sacks of those 15 teams in the National Football League. That blows your mind now. And look at the teams who are over there, the Bears and the New York Giants. I mean, these are teams, the Steelers, that have been high sack teams.
It's simply
49ers.
Yeah, it's simply amazing. Then you go in the middle with Dontari Poe and what he's done. I mean, I'm telling you, it's in the talk for one of the best all-time defenses. And I think, again, they've only been together now for an offseason and eight games. It's going to continue to develop and get better, I believe.
You said something, though, that resonated, and that's the fact of the unselfishness of this team and the fact that they're not chasing stats, they just stay on task. We had a chance to talk with Tom Bahali. You're going to hear this all throughout this interview, and not just about defense, but about offense and this team playing as a team.
I don't think we're doing it on just defense. I mean, you know, unlike last year, you know, we played good defense, but we didn't score. So I think we're doing it all three phases. We're doing well. You know, we do our part. The offense get out there. They do their part. The special team they do their part. And I think collectively we're winning games. The numbers might seem like it, you know, defense they're playing well, but our offense plays well. And you know, there are games that they have to carry us. They've scored points that they have had to carry us. And, you know, we're doing what defenses should do, is try to keep points off the board.
So is that extra motivation?
Well, there's also a tackle machine on this defense, and it's Derek Johnson, who's very close. Gary Spaney's record of 999 career tackles has stood since Gary's career back in the late 70s into the mid-80s. That's going to go down. Congratulations to Gary. But Derek Johnson, man, your line of the day was when you sent us, you're on the field, you sent up the booth, you go, is Derek up there? Because he's everywhere else.
Yeah, I assume maybe he was opening doors for you. He's doing all kinds of different things. Derek Johnson, a former teammate of mine for a year, and what he's doing now is really fun to watch for a lot of different reasons. Just how he's matured both physically, but maybe more mentally, because I think he studies the game even more. I think you're seeing him understand the game even better. And case in point, some of the plays that we'll break down here later on, he allows his athleticism to shine through because he's getting on the field and he doesn't have to think. It's unconscious competence where it just happens. And when that goes, it lets all of his athletic abilities shine through. And there's a lot of it. And quite honestly, he struggled a little bit early on because I think he was thinking a lot. And when I say early on, I say back when he was a teammate of mine in his rookie year. But he's just steadily got better to now, to me, a perennial Pro Bowl player. And what he's doing and how he's doing it is fabulous.
But this guy's been in the league since 05. And it's... he looks like a second or third year player. Physically, I'm amazed by him. The way he runs, turns his hips, there's no sign of slowing down with him.
Well, there's not only no sign of slowing down, is I think that he's getting better with age right now. I don't know how long that will continue because you know it comes to an end at some point in time, but trust me, it's not going to be anytime soon because when you look at him, the plays that he made this week behind the line of scrimmage and how he covered a back out of the backfield and closed the gap when really it looked like it was a pretty well-run play offensively and what he did, that's something you can X and O it, but you can't teach the athleticism that he has. That you just have to be born with, and thankfully for him and ultimately the Chiefs, he was born with it.
While we're on spooky good performances, we need to bring up General Manager John Dorsey. Now, I fully expect some kids tonight to come to my house in a sweatshirt that Dorsey always wears, dressed up as John Dorsey for Halloween. One of his spooky good moves will go down as one of the greatest of all time in his Waiver 7 move, the Magnificent 7, and basically to get two drafts out of this season. What about this guy and what he's doing?
Well, you know what? I'm going to keep saying it because I think it says it all when I say that this guy could do his own Dove commercial because he is comfortable in his own skin. He truly loves to watch and evaluate football, and certainly getting those seven after the 53-man roster was set was fabulous. When you get Marcus Cooper and you see what he's done this year, you get Duck Dynasty and Sean McGrath and what he's done, the list goes on and on. But those guys have made such an impact on the 13 season already just halfway through. And not only now, but you've got some young kids now that have a chance to develop and be part of this team for many years to come because they did their homework. They looked at everybody, which is not easy to do. They looked at everybody. I think you have to understand also that there's a staff there, and he trusts his staff to do their job. And I think he takes some you know tips from them as well because that's what you do. And they made some nice choices.
Humble, focused, mm-hmm. on task. He's just like the rest of this organization right now. Again, we're talking about on Halloween the spooky good performances of the first half of the season. And, of course, Jamaal Charles right now is leading the National Football League in yards from scrimmage. What he is doing, we had him on the Kingdom on Monday night, and what he's done as a receiver to me has been amazing. He's running routes. He's catching the ball, but he's also running receiver routes. What about Jamaal Charles and his complete game?
Well, I think you bring up a very valid point that people talk about receiving. They're like, oh, is he just catching screens? Well, he is catching screens, but he's running precise routes. You see him split out. I'm going to tell you right now, whatever D-back goes out there, when he lines up 5 yards from the out-of-bounds line and he's ready to go on a regular route, they don't like that. They hope that there's some help over the top for him because he's got world-class speed. He's a threat to go all the way every time he catches the ball. And that just opens up so many other things for the Chiefs' offense. And you see right here doing a nice job on the screen. The one thing that I've really noticed this year also, Mitch, is how patient he is. And I don't know if there's anybody that's 5'11", 205 pounds, soaking wet, that runs any better in between the tackles than our own Jamaal Charles.
Yeah, very interesting. I call him a cruiserweight fighter because his strength is unusual. The other thing that just jumps off the tape when I watch him is his pass protection and how much he's improved there. And not only protecting,
He's jacking guys. It reminds me of the old Tony Richardson days when he's snapping a defender's head. He's not only going to get you, he's going to get you.
He really is, and a lot of credit goes to Eric Bieniemy coming in, the running backs coach, and what he's doing. You can't say enough about the impact that he's made on Jamal in terms of understanding that he has to know his assignments, and then giving him the tips to be so physical with it. Because now all of a sudden, those linebackers, they watch tape, and they don't come in there with as much fervor if they know that they're going to get jacked and planted. So that's a good thing. It's, you know, somewhat in the genre of like a receiver going over the middle and knowing that he's going to get jacked by defensive backs. So you do those things, and all of a sudden, If you're a weak link that can't be exploited anymore and you're not the weak link, then they're going to quit trying that and they're going to go to something else.
Again, it's impressive. He's number one in the National Football League in yards from scrimmage as a receiver and as a rusher. If you look historically now, he's closing in on some of the all-time Chiefs records. Yes, God willing, he should be the all-time Chiefs leading rusher. But when you look at attempts, he's now top five all-time with his attempts of running the ball. And again, he's a ninja warrior. He gets stronger as the game goes on, playing with a little bit of a knee bruise this week. The Chiefs have got into a pattern with him where they're giving him Wednesday off, let him heal a little bit, get treatments from Rick Burkholder and his staff, then hit it Thursday, hit it Friday. What about his treatment and taking care of him as you go into this Buffalo game and the next seven games after that?
You know what, Coach Andy Reid and how he treats the players, and this is just one of the many reasons that they have so much respect for him. And all the time you hear players coach. Well, players coach, again, doesn't mean that you get away with a lot of things. It means that you know what's being asked of you and you know how you're expected to act. I would submit to you that Coach Reid has a tighter control on things than in the past of other coaches, because he just has his finger on everything, and the coaches, the players like that. I mean, they like the fact that they know where to go with things. And you know what? I think it's good that you rest him one day a week, because he's got a lot of carries, he's got a lot of mileage, and you want to have him fresh for that December run and going into the playoffs.
Yep, Cruiserweight Fighter Ninja Seabiscuit, all in one, right there, number 25. Well, another spooky good performance has been Alex Smith, 27-5-1 as a starting quarterback in a span that has been truly remarkable, 12-3 on the road, and let's be honest now, as the offensive line has matured and getting better every week, hits, knockdowns, hurries, sacks, zero fumbles.
Right.
Zero fumbles from this guy. But what about Alex Smith and how he's permeated through this entire football team?
Well, he makes the right decisions, like you talk about. He doesn't let go of the ball when he does get hit. And the one thing that I like, and this is something that I definitely compare him to with the QB that was during my era and Trent Green, is the fact of when you get hit, you're the QB, you don't get up and talk to anybody. You just get up and go do your job, and you act like nothing happened, because you know that's part of the job. And truly, it's not an act. I mean, he's just getting up and he's ready to play. He's a tough guy. He gets yards with his legs, and you've seen him a couple different times where he smells the line to gain to get a first down, and you've seen him go up over people, borderline do a flip, land on his back. He's selling out for the good of the team. Now, I do like the fact that he's been cautioned to know that when he's running sometimes, to get out of bounds if you need to. Don't take those hits. There's no reason to that, just like you see right there. So he's a smart football player. We've been around him in the offseason. He's always talking football. He loves what he's doing. He's very appreciative for being here. And, of course, 8-0, fabulous.
And he's made NFL history. He's the first quarterback in NFL history to start 8-0 with a new team. I think he took out Dieter Brock. Dieter.
I must dance now.
And anyway, and with Andy Reid and him, coach and quarterback going to a new team, nobody's done it to start 8-0, and that goes back to 1921 when this league started. Now, can the Chiefs go 9-0? A bye week looms after this game at Buffalo. Buffalo has been a rough spot for Kansas City down through the years. What do the Chiefs have to do to beat the Bills? You'll find out when we come back on this Halloween edition of our Midwest Ford Dealers Chiefs Live.
This is a tunnel. But not everyone can enter. The men who gather here have a kingdom to honor, a home to defend. And come Sunday, there's no place they'd rather be. This is the Players Tunnel at Arrowhead. Just a few short steps from glory.
Welcome back to this Halloween edition of Chiefs Live, brought to you by your Midwest Ford dealers. All right, it's now on to Buffalo in this place. We're going to get to some breakdown, some big plays against Cleveland. But before we do that, I'm going to ask you about execution and trying to get it done against Buffalo. This has been a sinkhole for the Chiefs for years.
Well, it has. They're 1-10 in their last 11 trips to Buffalo, so certainly that doesn't bode well. Buffalo, you know, the weather's expected to be in the 40s. Misty, rainy, who knows? There's even a chance of snow. You never know what you're going to get in Buffalo. But again, it's a place that we have just not had a lot of luck. I certainly look back at the times that I went to play there with the Chiefs, and for whatever reason, we never could get anything going. Now, that being said, this is a team in a state of flux. They've definitely got some issues.
Yeah, they're 3-5, but they were in this Saints game. They've been in almost every game, a lot of close games. Thad Lewis here, the quarterback playing, the former Duke Blue Devil, has done actually a pretty good job. He had some turnover issues early in the Saints game, but he just kept right on plugging, and then Fred Jackson's tough. This is Tashard Choice, used to play for the Dallas Cowboys and had a big game against Kansas City as a Cowboy in 09. But not only losing in Buffalo, but critical games. The Chiefs lost the AFC Championship game there in 1993. 1996, all Kansas City has to do is win this game, and they're going to the playoffs. That didn't happen. And then in 05, a team that you were on, I remember this game so well. If the Chiefs win that game, they're going to end up 11-5 and go to the playoffs. They scored 3 points, as good as that offense was, 3 points in a loss to Buffalo at Buffalo.
Yeah, it's hard to explain going back to that, and I remember that day, and there's just some days in the NFL where you just can't get it going and you can't put your finger on it. But, again, you certainly hope that's not the case this week going to Buffalo with the 8-0 Chiefs. And, you know, you mentioned Thad Lewis and what he did this week, and he's done pretty well, quite honestly, for coming off the practice squad. But, again, he got hit early in the game in New Orleans. He stayed in, but to his credit, but sacked 4 times, intercepted once, gave up 2 fumbles. So he has some issues. I talked about the state of flux that they're in. They don't know, honestly, who the QB is going to be this week yet. Right. He didn't practice yesterday. Then you've got, of course, Manuel's not ready to go. Flynn's only been there for 4 or 5 weeks. And then you've got Toole, who's on the practice squad. So, yeah. Well, I guess he's been raised now, but was on the practice squad. That's a lot going on. Then of course Stevie Johnson, he didn't practice yesterday. They're not sure what's going on with him. That being said, they've got some weapons when you look at it, and probably the one that I'm a little bit scared of is the tight end position, because it hurt us this week, and he's done a good job in Chandler also.
He's done a great job against the Chiefs in the past. We'll get to the Buffalo Bills in a second in more in depth detail, but why don't I have you go to the video here and show some plays. For the Chiefs to win in Buffalo, they've got to do this in some plays like they did against Cleveland. What are your plays and what did they do?
Well, this first one is the Charles screen, and I'll take it back here just a second. But what you see with this, they've got people spread out pretty decent. We'll let this run just a second as it goes here. But I like the fact that Jamal, he started right here and came all the way through over to here. And the fact is, normally you've got somebody spying the running back, and for whatever reason they didn't. But the other thing I like here is you've already got an offensive lineman right here getting ready to get out in front of him. And on any screen, you're trying to get 3 offensive linemen out in front if you can. So you let it go. And just a nice job. So now you've got people running down in front of you. Quite honestly, had he seen to his left and picked that guy off, who knows what would have happened. But really a nice job as he gets in there, gets an extra 5 to 7 yards on his own. What Jamal Charles is doing is a great job. And again, in the screen game, normally you're going to try to get these 3 guys out in the screen in some way, shape, or form. You know, one's going to lead, one's going to go up, one's going to lead, kick out rather, one's going to lead up the field, and the other one's going to clean up the backside. And it just depends on who gets there first and how the defense plays itself.
What I like too, Kendall, here is they're using the aggression of the defense against them. Something that's going to have to be important in the Buffalo game. This is an aggressive defense they played. Sometimes you can kind of turn the cannon on them with a play like this. And then you're going to get another screen, which is another perfect. This reminds me of those mid-2000s offensive linemen and how good they were in those screens with Will Shields and Casey Wegman and Brian Waters. They were a textbook at it. But it took me back when I saw the Chiefs do such a good job in the screens in the Cleveland game.
Well, they did, and something you talked about is using the aggressiveness against them, and you said that right when you saw, I mean, Alex Smith made that play in terms of being able to deliver the ball on time with the guy coming unabated after him. And he got thumped pretty good at that. So I think that's what you're referring to. Did a really nice job. And those are the intangibles that don't show up on the stat sheet all the time, but they're so very important. And trust me, the guys see it. They understand what's going on. Here we've got the touchdown pass to Sherman. I like the fact right now that you've got people spread out on this side. I'll get it here. You've got people spread out on this side and here. So you've just got a lot of space. You're making them defend the entire field. And the big thing is you got a little hesitation out of the middle backer here before he decided to go over and get a hold of Sherman or try to at least follow him. At this point in time, though, you have two linemen right there. You've got a wide receiver running cover right there. And you've got, I believe that's big Rodney Hudson coming to lead on one of those guys. And with that, he runs enough interference, basically takes his man into the end zone. Just a great job. As we see it from the end zone level, again, you get a little hesitation from this back right here, and they do a nice job. The three guys on the screen getting out there and getting in front of Sherman and giving him a chance to score.
What I like here, this wasn't a blitz, so this was just great execution. The other game, other play was a blitz. This time Cleveland didn't blitz, so you can run screens even when the other team doesn't blitz you, right?
You're right. And what I like about that also is I love seeing offensive linemen going into the end zone just feeling like they did their job. They got their hands up in the air. You see Jeff Allen. You see Asamoah going crazy. That's good stuff. And again, that's only going to get better as this offensive line continues to work together, stay healthy, and gel. That, again, will only get better.
You mentioned Derek Johnson. He's unbelievable right now in what he's doing and covering the field and staying assignment sound. I think you got something dialed up on DJ. Huh?
We do. Well, DJ just does a fabulous job. We'll let it run this here first time. Makes a tackle behind the line of scrimmage. Just does a wonderful job. First play of the game. Great way to get it started out. But right here, the fact is, I'm not sure. I think it was somewhat of a missed assignment from the offensive side of things because really – you should have these two coming here and coming up to get DJ, but instead he fans out. And to me, you normally are going to let this guy dangle when you're going to have a running play go to this side. But the one thing that is crazy to me, and we'll let this run, as he shoots through the gap there, makes the tackle. That's a very sure tackle, and what that reminds me of is the late Junior Seau. I'm going to tell you right now, in 1994, when I was with the Steelers, and we lost to the Chargers to go to the Super Bowl, Seau did that kind of stuff all day long. And that's one of those, don't do it, don't do it. Oh, you made the tackle. That's a good play. And I think that's what you've got going on there is Coach Bob Sutton trusts the players enough to know if they can get somewhere and do something. And when you've got that kind of trust and you have a little bit of things, that's nice.
All right, big assignment here for the Kansas City Chiefs. If they can get to go to 9-0, they're going to overcome a lot by facing a very dangerous Buffalo Bills team. Our KCChiefs.com reporter, Rachel Sanchi, gets you ready with this week's Focus Point.
Coming off an exciting win at home, the 8-0 Chiefs look to keep the momentum rolling as they face the 3-5 Buffalo Bills. Unfortunately, the Chiefs haven't had much success in Buffalo over the years, going winless at the Ralph since 1986. So while they look to extend one streak and go to 9-0, they'll be hoping to snap another and reverse their losing ways in Buffalo. Here are the three main points to focus on this week. First, the Bills' quarterbacks. In the most important position on the team, the Bills have experienced nothing but chaos through Week 8. Since training camp, they've had 9 different quarterbacks on their roster, and 3 have taken snaps in a regular season game. Their current starter, Thad Lewis, started training camp with the Lions, battling for the third-string quarterback spot, before a trade sent him to Buffalo just before the season. Since taking over for injured E.J. Manuel, he's had 3 starts, accumulating 652 yards, 3 touchdowns, and 2 interceptions, with his only win coming against the Dolphins in Week 7. Second, the Bills' injury situation. Injuries to skill position players have been a major problem for the Bills in 2013. And could play a big role in this week's game as well. For starters, first-round draft choice E.J. Manuel is still out with a knee injury suffered in Week 5. Also, starting running back C.J. Spiller's availability is in doubt with a high ankle sprain. And the Bills' star wideout Stevie Johnson suffered a hip flexor in their game against the Saints in Week 8, and his status for this week's game is in question as well. Finally, the Bills' current quarterback, Thad Lewis, was hit hard on the first play from scrimmage against the Saints, bruising his ribs before toughing it out for the rest of the game. but those sore ribs could affect his role in Week 9. Third, the Bills' defense. The Bills have quietly put together one of the strongest defensive rosters in the NFL over the last few years. Their defensive line features former top five picks Marcell Dareus and Mario Williams, as well as Pro Bowler Kyle Williams, while all-pro safety Jarris Byrd anchors a strong secondary. Although they struggled last week in their loss to the Saints, Buffalo's defensive unit has a lot of weapons to keep the Chiefs busy in Week 8. This is the first time in Andy Reid's 15-year coaching career that he started a season 8-0, and the Chiefs could go 9-0 for only the second time in franchise history. With a chance to win in Buffalo for the first time in 27 years, there's a lot on the line in Week 9.
Will not be easy. There are some really capable Buffalo players, and let's take a look at it. Let's start on the offensive side. They're committed to the run game. When I noticed, watched them on tape, even with score time, they're not going to get away from the run game. They're the only team in the NFL that has two 350-yard rushers in C.J. Spiller and Fred Jackson. And then what about their play-action passing off the run game?
Well, the fact is, if you do run the ball effectively, you've got to have a chance to do some things. And again, you've got those two running backs that you mentioned running like they are, and now you give a lot of credence to the pass, and it just makes the defense have to defend more things. And, of course, they run the option read as well. So a lot of different things in the package. But this guy right here, this can't happen on Sunday. And as you see, it's against the Chiefs last year. You've got to stop the run first, and then you focus on everything else, because I believe ultimately if you do stop the run, you'll come out victorious in this game.
And you and I both remember this game. This was a scheming and flanking clinic that Buffalo put on. They used Spiller like Jamal Charles. He was an X. Yep. He was a Z as a flanker. He was in the slot. They ran him on a rocket sweep. I think he ran a wildcat play. He was in regular running plays. C.J. Spiller's like Jamal. You got to find him. Where's he at? Because he can hurt you so many ways.
You're right. He becomes Where's Waldo, and you've got to make sure that you know where he's at all time. And the fact is, there was confusion last year. When you looked out on the field, Mitch, the defense was confused in terms of what was going on, and you know, kudos to Buffalo and what they're doing. I don't think that's going to happen this year. They'll be ready for whatever throws their way. Coach doing a nice job defensively in terms of making sure guys are where they need to be.
The real power on this team, though, isn't its defense. They have 27 sacks. That's second only to the Kansas City Chiefs. They have 12 interceptions. They're top three in the league. This guy, Super Mario Williams, right now with 11 sacks. That's the best for any Buffalo Bill in the first 8 weeks of the year, for anybody, includes Bruce Smith. What about Mario Williams and accounting for him?
Wow. You've got to know where he's at all times. At 6'6", 292 pounds, this guy is a force. Of course, a big free agent signee in the past. And, you know, the one thing is he'll move from side to side, so you've got to be aware of that. And the fact is, you can't just focus on him, because you got big Kyle Williams in also, who has four sacks himself. And those guys, they're sacking the QB, they're making a difference, but they're also playing the run game pretty well. And also right there, you see Williams getting into people. I mean, it's an issue. And Marcell Dareus and what he's doing, he's been tough this year. I'm going to make sure you don't faint here once I don't mention too many of these guys. They're doing such a nice job, but they've got a defense that can do some pretty good things, and then you back up. Well, we'll get to it, but the other sides of the defense in terms of the secondary levels and the linebackers specifically are really pretty impressive.
Yeah, you just reel off names of guys that are hard to block. You also saw number 50 on the video. That's Kiko Alonso. And right now, if he would be the NFL Rookie of the Year at the midway point, his stats are off the chain.
No question about it. He has 81 tackles. He has four interceptions. He's got one sack, I believe. He's doing it all. And the nice thing about him is he's on the field all three downs, so you don't have to substitute. And so he has the coverage abilities. Is he going to cover Jamal Charles or a wide receiver in the flat one-on-one? No, but you know what? Nobody's not going to. But when he gets into his coverages, he gets back into his zones, he can break on the ball. He can do some good things. And he's a force. And again, they wouldn't be keeping him in there if he wasn't. But 81 tackles at this point in time, that's pretty good.
Plus, these guys, so many of them have career games against Kansas City. In the back end, we'll close the show taking a look at their back end. Jarris Byrd, you saw him on the video, number 31. He's had huge games against Kansas City. Leotis McKelvin has had his best games of his career against Kansas City. Young Stephon Gilmore in his second year has had a bit of a hand issue. You saw in the video that he's played with kind of a cast on his hand. But the back end, you want to talk about him. What do you see back there with those guys?
You know what? You talk about all those guys. The guy I'm going to bring up is Denoris Searcy. I think he's done a pretty nice job. He's got a couple sacks, I believe, actually. Two sacks. And this is, again, an active secondary where you bring people from one side or the other. But I do think it can be exploited. I think there's a chance to get some plays. I like crossing routes. Certainly, I want the screen game in there as well. You're going to take your shots over the top at some point in time. But, again, depending upon the weather and what's going on in there wind-wise, that just may not be possible. When it comes down to it, though, you've got to get the run game going with Jamal, and hopefully that'll affect things.
We're going to close on this. One fascinating part about this game is Mike Pettine, the defensive coordinator of the Bills. This is basically the Chiefs' defense. The Bills run Kansas City's defense, and Bob Sutton worked with Mike for years with the Jets. Mm-hmm. Doug Peterson, the offensive coordinator and the offensive staff, have walked across the hall. And the what about the work there, but basically facing what you've seen since OTAs?
Well, it's pretty cool because you wouldn't even think there's a question about working together, but I've been on too many teams where the offense and defense of the same team are so consumed with what they've got going on that they don't realize that it's a team, and they're becoming more focused and they're competing with each other. That's not the case here. I'm going to tell you right now, what Andy Reid's doing and this staff that was put together so very early, the earliest, in fact, in the offseason, is huge. And when Doug Peterson and he goes and talks to Bob Sutton and asks about some different things, and as you say, he's helping him out with things, that's what should be happening because it's a team. It's the Kansas City Chiefs. That's what should always be happening. But I'm telling you right now, folks, in the NFL, it doesn't always go that way.
I've got one other thing. I know I keep bringing things up, but it's the bye week after this one. Now, people say, wow, it's a distraction. But with this team, they've been so focused and on point. But also, Kendall, they've played hurt. They've gone through that. People don't want to come off the field. It's like running a marathon. You played the game for 15 years. It's like you go 13 miles, but you get a day off. And then you run the second 13 miles. This team is 400 meters from getting a break, exhaling, if you will. What about staying focused for this game and trying to get on that plane 9-0 with a bye week?
Well, I think head coach Andy Reid has done a nice job in terms of getting into the players and making them understand it's one game at a time. And, of course, we all know that's a cliche. But the fact is, as a player, and I was here when you had the buys going on and that started, you understand that you do not want to go 2 weeks thinking about a loss and what went on. And then certainly with the fact of Denver coming up after that. I'm going to tell you right now, they're focused on the job at hand, and they know that if they get there, if you get to 9-0 and you have a chance to give your body 2 weeks of rest, get ready for Denver, those are good things. But ultimately, you get those wins when you can, and this is a win that you have a chance to get, you could and you should get. So it's going to be fun to watch. It's not going to be easy, but you know what? A lot of the games this year haven't been easy, but it doesn't matter. As Coach Reid, I think, said, you don't get style points for things. All that matters in the NFL is a win.
Yeah, this team doesn't mind that it's not easy. They just get it done every week. He's Kendall Gammon. He's the snapper. I'm Mitch Holtis, voice of the Chiefs. We'll see if the Chiefs can go 9-0 and get into that bye week and stay undefeated. Thank you.